There's a prayer attributed to the Navajo people. Beauty is before me and beauty behind me. Above me and below me hovers the beautiful. I am surrounded by it. I am immersed in it. In my youth, I am aware of it, and in old age, I shall walk quietly the beautiful trail. In beauty, it is begun. In beauty, it is ended. One wonders then, how does it so often elude us? How is it that something so present around us as beauty can be invisible to us and takes us by surprise when we catch the sense of it? I don't mean beautiful things, although those are often filled with more than what touches the surface, the meaning behind them, perhaps, or the memory or the emotion that beautiful things evoke. And I don't mean our cultural assumptions about what qualifies as beauty, but by beautiful, I mean the thing that touches us, that makes us weep for its poignance, for the way it moves our emotions. It sets our arms to tingling and makes our lips turn up in a smile. Our world is so full of sadness. It would seem we need beauty as an antidote. The poet John O'Donohue, who insisted on beauty as a human calling, puts it this way. Beauty is mysterious. A slow presence who waits for the ready, expectant heart. So perhaps observance of beauty or notice, perhaps the experience of beauty for us, requires a heart in need or a heart that is ready or open at the very least. Today we have offered three possibilities of beauty. Our flowers, of course. Lovely in and of themselves, but more so for what they represent to us as symbols of what we can be. Varied and diverse, some tall and straight, some less tall and bending, some fern-like, some petaled, some bold, some soft, and all more beautiful in the company of each other. Unsolicited beauty and real. And we have considered the way our own company is changed and enriched by new lives among us, new members, as we once again welcomed more, new energy, new enthusiasm, and commitment. It changes who we are as a whole. It expands our potential and our possibilities. It is the always significant beauty of welcome. And we have acknowledged the beauty that comes from the hard work of struggle to bend the arc of justice towards love. That when it actually happens, our very souls are made joyful. It is the beauty of effort and work on behalf of something good. We fall into beauty with the same ease, O'Donohue insists, as we slip into the seamless embrace of water. That may be, though sometimes it feels like we have to look harder for the water to embrace, doesn't it? So yesterday afternoon, I had the pleasure of attending my granddaughter's first ballet recital. She is 3 and a few months. Her dance skills are blossoming with random delight. Or should I say, her delight is blossoming with her random skills. Either way, having almost nothing to do with her teacher's instructions. Being in the presence of music and empty space, not to mention her small friends, was enough. And the fact that her toe points, or her arm stretches, or her body wiggles and hops, is simply joyful to her, and it is so fun to observe. Like so many of the little bodies in yesterday's performance, she watches the example set by the choreographer, catching up to most of the moves 2 or 3 beats later. I wept through the first 4 dances yesterday of similar young bodies, not even hers among them, bouncing to their Disney themes, bumping into each other, or standing still and forgetting to move once the dance started. Oblivious to the mayhem, but delighted with our enthusiastic applause, every twirl a success, every bow an acknowledgement of their gift to us. It occurred to me that the joy of this tiny engagement was just beautiful. It was beautiful. And my heart hurt at the contrast of that sweet afternoon when I think of what the families in Virginia Beach were suffering at the same time. Sometimes beauty just hurts by comparison. As it exposes its distinction from so much in the rest of our lives. So yes, like Miss Rumphius, we must each do something to make the world more beautiful. Because it is simply overwhelming otherwise. And we need it so badly. I listened to a poem by Ross Gay recently. He's called a leading American poet. He's an animated speaker. I encourage you to find him on YouTube. In addition to being a writer, he is a founding board member of the Bloomington Community Orchard, a nonprofit free fruit for all food justice garden and joy project. How lovely is that? The poem I watched him read was called Burial, about putting his father's ashes in the holes that he dug to plant plum trees. And it was this amazing and resurrecting story of how the plums came to be the expression of what his father's life had been. It was such a beautiful tribute. Almost dancing now in the plum in the tree, the way he did as a person, bent over and biting his lip and chucking the one hip out and then the other with his elbows cocked and fists loosely made and eyes closed and mouth made trumpet, when he knew he could make you happy just by being a little silly and sweet. But then for certain, we are not all poets. And we needn't be artists necessarily, or perhaps we all are artists in our own ways. I listened to the word of the physicist Richard Feynman, describing how his scientific perspective enriches the constructs of beauty because his curiosity compels him to see inside a flower, to see the cells that make it what it is, and the colors and the scents that attract the insects, so that the flower becomes a process of nature that sustains his excitement about the mystery of the world. His words were also as beautiful as the poet's. I am not a poet, I am not a physicist, and I am surely no longer a child dancer. But I have a job to do, which is to see the world's beauty as much as I can. As on my morning walk today, the birds, the squirrels, the colors, the quiet. But also, and somehow I must manage to do something to make the world more beautiful. In the book I referenced this morning in the opening words, the child Alice, who becomes Miss Rumphius with her advanced years, discovers that lupines propagate. So she spreads the seeds wherever she goes, knowing they will multiply, and the world is more beautiful as a result. Our contributions don't have to be complicated. They simply have to be, so that there is a semblance of balance to all that challenges us, which is a lot. Imagine if we all woke up wondering, what will my beautiful thing be today? Let's start now. Let's add the beauty of our voices to our common song this morning. As we come forward to choose a flower to take home with us, in beauty it is begun, in beauty it is ended.